Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast. This is the place where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Brandon Rhodes, and we are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally, with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
All right, now I need it. We are covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles, and alternative transportation, arts and culture, communications, and the internet, cleaning gutters left and right.
Cleaning gutters. We were out cleaning gutters for neighbors not 2 hours ago.
We're so humble about it, too.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And I realized that a gutter actually smells exactly like an aquarium smells, like after a fish has lived in it but has died.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I spent a lot of time with my nose, I guess, kind of near that. We helped a lot of people get
stuff. If you're using your nose, you're doing it wrong.
It's true. Well, only one of our friends had one of those little trowel things that you can actually scoop the stuff out of the gutter with. The rest of us, I think, were using our hands. So, mm-hmm. Anyways, doing good and helping people love life. So, that was nice.
Yeah.
We're joined today by, and I forgot to ask you before we rolled tape, it's too late now. Do you prefer Fat Boy?
Fat Boy is just sort of like the nickname. You can call me Bobby.
Bobby, whatever. Mr. Roberts.
Yeah.
Mr. Roberts is actually my next go-to. That was the one I was going to start with.
But I'll take that. Not too many people use that
Mr.
one
Roberts.
On me. Yeah. not too many people. Yeah. Usually it's like AU, loudmouth.
This is Mr. Roberts from courtandfatboy.com, hamfistedradio.com, and many other things.
Yeah. I can't shut up, apparently.
It's all good. No.
Constantly running my mouth.
Yeah. And the reason that we thought, I mean, there are any number of reasons I would have loved to induct you in here, but I think the reason that I thought you'd fit on our show is because you occasionally tweet on transit.
Oh, yeah.
As our former and upcoming guest, Dr. Jeff, has also done.
So. Oh, you're getting Jeff on?
Yeah.
Nice.
He's been in once, and he'll be back in about a month or so, I think.
Yeah, that guy.
He's a good guy.
He comes from the west side, right? Or does he come from the east side?
No, he actually lives.
He starts at like Gateway and makes his way all the way to Forest Grove.
So we must be just
Faux Grove.
Is that the name for it? Faux Grove?
We got Nopo and Sipo. Yeah. Faux Grove.
Faux Grove.
Yeah.
Forest Grove.
It's cool now.
I hope that catches on.
I think we can make it catch up.
Yeah.
But
I don't appreciate that he lied to me just straight up. I've been in the room and on the show for like 3 minutes. He's like, no, Faux Grove's cool now. I'm like, there's nothing nothing of what you said is true.
Nope. It's amazing there.
Yeah. It is. No, it's cool. I don't want to say it's cool, but it's an interesting place, Faux Grove.
Yeah. They have a cheap theater.
Yeah.
So you can go out and get your movie
fix. They have
a
little relic of a downtown.
I guess they have two cheap theaters. They have the one at McMenamin's, the Grand Lodge, which is fantastic. It's a great place to see a show. And then there's also the... it's like the sister to the one up in Vancouver, like the Kickens in Vancouver.
Ooh, yeah. The Kickens is nice. The Kickens is a very nice theater.
The Kickens has been made nice. It's been redone, right? And I haven't been there since they reopened.
And it's sort of the Vancouver version of what happened with the Roseway Theater here in Portland, which used to be just like a giant rat trap.
Exactly.
And this guy from California named Greg came in and just completely overhauled it to the point where it's like the best audiovisual quality in Portland, like by far, and the tickets are only like $7.
Those Californians, they know what to do.
We don't give a shit.
We're just like, is there beer available? Yeah, okay. We'll sit down. Yeah, you're hanging a bed sheet.
It's all good.
Projectors. Like, so long as there's a bar attached, we'll go.
Yeah.
We'll go.
Brandon, you have the equivalent of a bed sheet downstairs, don't you?
Yeah, basically.
It's kind of a home theater.
It's a blackout sheet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Those are cool.
It's half the price of anything else for projecting on.
A lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people go into the flat panel stuff, the LCD stuff. You know, they hit up their Best Buys or whatever, and they drop like $600 or $700 on like a 42-inch TV. Where like, you know, you could drop like another $300 and get like a 100-inch TV via projector.
There's
like in 1080 with all. It's just nuts.
What we've had on our street for the past week or so, there's been this old school projection TV. It's like, I don't know how big those things are, but it was just sitting out on the curb for like a week,
like 30. Inches deep,
and nobody wants it. You know, it's like it used to be the thing. Like if that was on the curb, it would be gone in half an hour. You know, people would be like, "Hey, there's a free huge ass television," and now you can't get rid of them. So,
Well, it'd be a nice museum piece. Like if you got a room in your house dedicated to like, you know, dead media, it's like
this
place where you keep your Laserdisc player and like your old stand up, Mr. Do arcade cabinet or something. You put your big 40-inch rear projection that you can house a whole family of three
it's
inside.
Dim, but damn, it's big.
Yeah.
Seriously, Pong on that would be heavenly.
Oh yeah,
I think.
Well, yeah. But you can't
you
be
got
more
a low standard for heaven.
That's simplifying the good life.
That's right. You know, there's all kinds of mediocre shit there. It's great.
For years, my favorite arcade game, hands down, was the old brick-style Nokia cell phone Snake game.
Oh my God.
Before the snake.
I played that on the TI-83 graphing calculator.
Yeah, it was around long before
that's
the...
That's why I got C's in the math classes.
that's what they're for, isn't it?
Yeah, it was that in Mafia Wars before Zynga made it into something fancy.
Wait, Mafia Wars was a thing?
Oh, yeah. There were these video games that people coded for like the old graphing calculators.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. I played Snake on it. There was there were a couple role-playing games. Pimp Wars. It was stupid.
That's
I would imagine. It also seemed like it would be sort of somewhat incomprehensible to anyone who had a TI-84 graphing calculator.
Yeah, it says bitch.
What do I know about pimping? My calculator taught me.
Yeah. I haven't been.
I do not know this word. Oh, goodness. Well, good times. It rained here in Portland more, I think, than it has rained in a long time. I mean, we're no strangers to rain. We get a lot of it here, but
it lived up to people's stereotypes.
It came down in fury in the past couple days. Mm-hmm. And what? I guess Centralia, and from what I understand, my relatives in Tacoma have been without power for 3 days.
Holy
or something
crap.
Like that. So they've got like this huge snowstorm thing going on, but we don't, we're just damper than usual. So
yes,
what can you do?
Except for Southern Oregon, which is flooded out.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think Albany is pretty much gone. Okay. I mean, there are still buildings and people still there.
Yeah, south of Salem is just crazy.
Yeah, and even I think like West Salem and some parts of North Salem.
My parents live towards the top of a hill, and they had 6 inches of water in their basement.
Yeah. Well, that's happened before. I think it happened in 96, I was still
in Salem. 100-year storm.
Yeah, that was nuts. I was rescuing people from West Salem in my big old, Oldsmobile Hoopty, my Cutlass Supreme Braham, just driving through, ten-inch puddles. I mean, it was a legitimate boat at that point, because I don't think the wheels were touching. I was just kind of getting my friends out of their apartment in West Salem. That was really interesting.
That's intense.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun, actually. Wow.
As long as your shit doesn't get ruined, it's all good.
Well, I was a dumb teenager. It didn't occur to me that, you know, I was just like, oh, cool. I'm going to go drive my boat. I'm going to make my boat an actual boat. Because you do those sorts of dumb, where you don't know any better. So you're like, so why wouldn't I drive into a flood zone to pick up my friends? Yeah, why wouldn't I do that?
How else are they going to get out?
Exactly. Yeah. I was one of the only ones with a car, so. It's part of the reason why I don't like driving cars anymore.
Cultural currency.
Yeah, I try to take the max whenever possible. And right. I used to ride my bike very frequently until, and this is where the laziness kicks in, one of the handlebars like snapped off in my hand and I just haven't had it fixed.
My goodness.
It's been like 7 months. One of the handlebars went, I popped off a curb and the handlebar went off. Jeez. And that was 7 minutes ago, but I just haven't had it fixed. I've got like an extra handlebar in my shed behind my house. I just haven't swapped it out yet because I'm lazy. Right. I'm like, well, and I get more interesting stories when I ride the train anyway, honestly.
Are they flat bars or are they curved bars?
They're flat bars.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I actually have one right here that I could give to you now, but if you already have one, you're set.
I've got one. It works perfectly fine. I just lazy.
It happens. Well, and that's the thing. I think it's tricky. Like, bicycle mechanics are not hard to do, but it's like, even if you have the intuition, if you don't have the gumption or the gusto, like, I know how to do all these things, and I've had a broken spoke on my front wheel for the past week now, and I've done nothing about it.
Yeah,
I've been waiting to schedule work, I think, with my preferred mechanic, and he's kind of spotty, I think, in the winter, so.
Yeah, to me, like, the bicycle repair is sort of like it's like mysticism. Like, you've almost got to be like a repair shaman to work on a bike, because I'm afraid there's so much that I think I might be able to do. I might be able to muddle through, but I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up just enough that I'm like, okay, I do got to take it to professional. And I just can't bear the disdain. I'd like, if I take it into city bikes, I'm going to go, you tried to fix this yourself, didn't you? I'm going to, yeah. And they're just going to go, I'll just go outside and shame with the peanuts.
George Michael.
Yeah. Just shuffle around the front of city bikes, kicking it rocks.
Right. I was talking to somebody yesterday or the day before about how that was kind of like, there was a cultural shift at one point when I moved down to Portland at first, I looked like I had come from Vancouver, the suburbs. Mm-hmm. Which I had, and City Bikes is a co-op. They're run by these really cool looking punk folks, and they're all anarchists, and they all, you know, they do everything together.
Golly, they're neat.
They're great, yeah. But there's a certain amount of snobbishness that even I don't even know if it's intentional. I think some of it just kind of comes from the culture.
I can't imagine a snobbish anarchist
that they
Brock.
Roll in.
you laugh.
So I went in there at the end of my bike tour with it was the beer tour that we took last June. And we ended in Portland, and I went in with my friends and got some parts I think we were looking for. And the way that they treated me after I had I'd been growing my beard for a year, and it was way bigger. And I was wearing, you know, tighter jeans and a t-shirt instead of what I was probably wearing before. And it was amazing the amount of difference in the way I was treated when I walked in. So I love the folks, good people, but I think they probably just have some cultural hangups that they can't get past. So what can you do?
We all do.
We all do. Yeah. I mean, you yeah, definitely. Well, hey,
the cultural hang-up I have is that I don't have a beer in my hand.
Oh, true enough. Well, hey, let's
the cultural gap between
take
you
care
and
of this.
I...
Yeah, definitely. This is the the Lips of Faith series from. Oh, this is I'm going to embarrass myself. I cannot remember the name
New
of the brewery.
Belgium.
New Belgium. It's right there on the bottle. Okay, yeah, the Grand Cru Abbey. This was sent to us from our friend down there who works at the factory, and we got it like a year ago, and it's 6 months, and we haven't opened it
reminiscing.
Yet. So, yeah. Anyways, it's a fantastically labeled bottle, and it's wonderful. And so there we go.
Yeah, I like their. Take care of that. I don't know if you can call it a boutique series, but I like the New Belgium Lips of Faith stuff. Oh,
a little fanfare for the beer.
Timing, there. I guess.
We're about to open the New Belgium Lips of Faith. I like those. I like that series. There's They have one, I think it's called Lip Tingler, something like that. And that one is really good. It actually does tingle your lips. It's spicy, and it seems like it's a nice balance between like a pumpkin ale and a more regular like amber ale. It tastes really good. I haven't had a single one of these Lips of Faith series that hasn't been great.
It's amazing.
Yeah, they're pretty supreme.
The other one that he sent us was what was like the Super Crew or something. That was like 10.5%, which is quite a bit.
It
makes everything else tingle.
The Valentine's Day one was incredible. Whoa.
But yeah,
that's one of the things I love about Portland is that it is definitely a haven for brew experimenters.
Indeed.
And what I like with the brew experimenters is that almost all of them like to experiment in the 7% to 11% ABV range. They all do that.
Right.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, and then if the taste isn't something that you thought you wanted, like at least you've got the other half of that, you know, the other part of the equation that makes beer good. So
yeah.
We are. Oh, cheers. There we go. All right. Well, hey, Brandon, are you? Can you have Siri bring up the news headlines for us? This is our headline center, courtesy of local Portland band Hurt Bird. Oh, there it is.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as we can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast as we can into the daylight.
Oh, I didn't share it with you?
No.
Oh, well... Isn't this embarrassing? Well, in that case, would you like me to read the news headlines?
Why don't you read the news headlines and I'll have the sassy commentary?
Easy enough. All right. Well, first off, from the BBC Via Bike Portland, how does one cycle across the South Pole? And this is something that is absolutely fascinating to me. There's a bicycle that's been constructed specifically for this lady who's going to do a marathon's challenge across Antarctica, across the Southern Continent. So... attempting to be the first to use a bike to reach the South Pole. And some of the specs on this are incredible. You can see her riding outfit there. It's all, classic explorer style the big hood with the fur and everything. As far as I understand the bicycle it weighs about 40 pounds, which is nearly double what I have. So, doing that even without cargo, I guess I can't imagine trying to cross Antarctica with a bicycle. That's tricky. The tires, I believe, are solid, which,
because there's a lot of glass and nails.
People leaving stuff everywhere.
Well, the construction projects, man. It's fucking crazy.
I would imagine, you're not going to
go around it.
And pick it up, yeah. And you don't want to be fixing a flat tire when you're in sub-zero weather, I'm sure. So
penguins harassing you.
Exactly. So that's the... That's the plan, anyways.
Cool.
It's pretty incredible. If I'm not mistaken, I think they have the elliptical chain ring in front, which instead of a perfect circle, it's oval-ish. And I imagine that'll help, too. But she's not clipping into the pedals, but she does have cages that are big enough for her snow boots. So it'll be exciting. It sounds
tricky
to me.
How many miles is it?
I'm scanning the article for that data now. I do not know. Hopes to complete the trek in 20 days. 500 miles across Antarctica.
Jeez.
We'll cycle for large parts of it.
Good luck to her.
As well as snow kiting and walking.
Snow kiting?
I missed that the first time around.
Wait, so she's going to attach a kite to the front of the bike and then...
I wonder.
Does she just roll at that point?
I do not know.
They see her feet rolling. Up.
They see me rolling.
That would be kind of
exciting. Penguins.
I would love to have one of those. I think we had talked about, either you and I or somebody else, we talked about equipping our bikes with some sort of sail. So when you have a tailwind,
yes,
you can just catch that wind and let it pull you right along. You could break the 40-mile-an-hour barrier, I think.
CO2 powered burst. They'll shoot the parachute out your backpack.
I don't have
to stop and take it out.
That would be exciting. So there's that.
That's a ride that you need definitely the James Bond soundtrack on your iPod for.
Most definitely.
Yeah,
so.
If you're going to hit a button that causes a parachute to explode out of your back, you need dun 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 when you do it. Just
yeah, if only for your own benefit. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah.
You're going to feel twice as cool that way.
Aston Martin doesn't make a bicycle though, so
yeah. That's right.
Someone should get on him for that.
So,
that's the noise.
That just happened to be the transition I landed upon. I'm
that's
sorry.
What it sounds like when you run over a penguin.
Kind of like, yeah.
A squeak
like,
toy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
The one from Toy Story. Yeah. Mr. Squeakers.
The claw.
Yeah. You know, my soundboard's a little bit laggy today.
Yeah.
What is this called? The Bergmonk.
Yeah.
From Koga. This is the one that you had sent to me, Brandon.
I mean, it's basically a gravity bike
yeah.
with a backpack attached to it.
But it's pretty awesome. You go uphill, and going uphill is really no fun, I think, whether you're on foot, hiking in the woods, or if you are trying to bicycle up any sort of hill on a bicycle, whether it's a yes. mountain bike or in the middle of the city. Going up to Washington Park, that's no fun. But if you're hiking up and then you want to take full advantage of the gravity that you've achieved once you've gotten that far up, this is a bicycle that folds into a backpack. And then it can be unfolded into a gravity bike with little pedals on the back that you can stand on. Mm-hmm. You can also kneel onto it, I believe, as I saw in the video yeah. earlier today. And it takes you downhill.
Well, I mean, like it's the one of the forms of bicycling we don't really talk about on the show is mountain biking. But, you know, you got to get your bike up to the top of the hill.
Mm, definitely.
And this is a nice way to do that. And they've got, this great setup to basically latch it all in.
And I can't count the number of times that I've wished when I was out hiking somewhere that I had a mountain bike that was like, hey, you know, it wouldn't be any fun to bring it along with me until this point. At this point, I would love to be bombing down the hill instead of, it's a whole different set of muscles too, like stopping yourself and slowing yourself from the eventual tumble downhill. Like yep. your body uses different muscles and muscles that you never use in any other activity. So you can spare yourself.
Would you stand or would you kneel?
I don't know.
Like they gave you the option.
I think I'd be standing.
You would stand? Why?
I feel like I can dive up into the side better. I need a spring to get myself out of something.
Good call. Very good call.
Otherwise, I'm rolling with the rubble. Oh, yeah.
That's true, I guess.
I mean,
yeah.
You're fucked either way. But
and there aren't any shocks on this thing. It has a disc brake, or disc brakes, but no shocks. So.
No.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to be on your knees for that.
Unless there's also the backpack attachment. It's like I assume you can also put other things into this pack as you're walking with it. So. The question is, are you kneeling on your sandwich that you brought for the meal in the middle of the outing or something like that? But anyways, you said the promo video wasn't quite to your liking. It was kind of dumb.
Stupid. It was like a monk goes into like a cathedral-ish thing.
A church.
Yeah, that's it. Yes. And he's having some penance time, and then it cuts to all these different, these young people I haven't fallen. And then he's like, I'm sorry, Lord, I've given in to temptation. And he walks away, picks on up, and... hightails out of the church building.
Because as we know, God hates fun.
Evidently.
Above anything else.
Yeah, and this,
especially
this,
fun
this,
outdoors.
This is sufficient to make you leave your deepest calling. It's just like, what the fuck is that?
So, yeah. But it is called the Bergmonk, which I'm curious if that translates into monk. It looks as though there's a...
we did not take the time to do the research.
There's a monkish fellow that is on the icon for the product, so...
Could anyway, be. It's neat.
Yeah.
So, two weird bikes so far.
Yeah, so there's that. Four-lane superhighway. This is courtesy of our listener, Susan, I believe, in Texas. We sent her some stickers earlier because she's been a donor. We appreciate that, Susan. But she said there's this Tree Hugger article that's talking about a four-lane superhighway to be built only for bikes coming in Sweden.
Is it going to be that color?
I wonder. Pink would be exciting.
Yeah, that's more of a fuchsia.
That would it would definitely make you stand out, I guess. It would help people see you on your way. I've never had huge problems like on the Springwater Corridor, for example, as I'm riding. I've never had a big problem seeing people in front of me or behind me. But this would definitely help them stand out. Mm-hmm. You could almost, if you were filming stuff on there, you could use it like as a green screen or something.
They're riding on lava.
You could impose whatever background you wanted to onto the bicycles. But, oh yeah, and there's all those, the O with the slash through it, which is not an umlaut. What do they call that? I have no idea.
No.
It's in Sweden, so there's a couple of those in the article.
It's a key component of the Borkish Bork language.
That's right.
That they speak in Sweden.
Apparently, this the town here, which is, I can't remember the name, Lund. Apparently, yeah. It's got 60% of the populace bikes or takes public transport to go about their daily tasks, and so a four-lane freeway for bikes would be perfect. Mm-hmm. The only thing we have close in Portland is on the Hawthorne Bridge, the approach to downtown has a two-lane bike lane, which mm-hmm. is fantastic because then you've always got... I'm usually the guy in the right-hand lane that's taking his time, and there's usually some guy in Lycra that wants to get past me.
Yeah.
And so that's a safe way to create space.
No matter how fast you're going, there's always a guy in Lycra that wants to pass.
Always, and especially on the Hawthorne Bridge. I would say that above and beyond any other place in Portland, that's where you will find people who are in the post-work commute race thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because, it's not because they have like a competitive spirit or anything. It's just...
I get my competitive spirit on when you're going from west side on the base of that bridge all the way until you hit MLK. It's a steady little competition. See if you can catch up with that little son of a
bitch. It's true. Well, and even actually, there's the thing where if you're bicycling across the Hawthorne Bridge, crossing Grand, I think, and then on to Hawthorne, down to 12th, I think, you can mm-hmm. hit those lights if you're traveling fast enough. I think you can hit them all in one succession. So a lot mm-hmm. of people are trying to get that, I think.
Yeah. Have you guys ever... Have you ever succumbed to the temptation to just catch some guy who just blew past you just for personal pride? Like,
yes.
It's really not helping you get to work any faster.
No.
It's just making you get to work sweatier.
Yeah.
But you've done it. I've done it more than a few times where a guy will blow past me on a bridge and I'm like, why is he going faster than I am?
Right.
Like they'll be one of those things where it's like a personal pride thing. I'm like, I'm in decent shape. I've got thighs like fire hydrants. How mm-hmm. come he can work his legs? He's got chicken legs. He's got big bird legs and he's going at least 10 miles an hour faster. Like, do I not? And that angers me. So I just want to catch up to the guy just so I can like look sideways at him like,
precisely.
And then keep riding. So that's not just a me thing. That happens to most people.
I call it the grudge race.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's always like people who feel like it's okay to blow through a stop sign or a red light. And they're like, pshaw, whatever. And mm-hmm. Oftentimes probably to their peril and doom. And I like to demonstrate that it's possible to travel the distance that they traveled in the amount of time that that they traveled, even when they've obeyed the stop sites and things. So
you're the guardian of truth, law-abiding in the American world.
Yeah, and to my downfall, I don't think it's probably a good thing, but which is why I call it the grudge race.
Yeah, but there's still some sense of satisfaction when it's like, okay, he blew through a stop sign, and then you catch up to him like two stop signs later.
Mostly, I like catching up with the cars who will drive up to the stop sign or the red light
mm-hmm.
faster. They'll accelerate to get around you to the stop sign.
Oh, right.
And then it's like you pull up next to him. It's like, there was a fucking red light, buddy.
What were you racing to?
You got there first. Yeah. You beat the little bicyclist.
Yeah, for sure. I call it taking the lane. But it's a fine line to walk with that one, whether or not it's for safety or it's just because, I feel like being as much of a dick as everybody else.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm being a good ambassador. I've definitely done the slow clap, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Where you pull up to the red light shortly after they pulled up to the red light and you turn to them and just go, yeah.
Precisely.
Do they just slump over?
Well, and then I'll drop gears just to get to the crosswalk across mm-hmm. the intersection before. If I can at least touch that with my tire before they get their entire car through, then I feel vindicated.
You feel like you've done what needed to be
done. They don't know that's my standard, but that's my standard.
There's so many little battles going on. So many little things. Keeping the mind active.
Our entire self-identity is rooted in this.
Yeah.
It's a big thing, man. And this happens to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if there was like a graph or a waveform of people's emotions as traffic happened? You'd have these huge spikes like at 9 and 5, give or take.
Indeed.
But yeah. Well, hey, here's blasted soundboard. All right. Maybe I have calluses on my fingers. Touch screens aren't what they used to be.
You don't have enough static going through your calluses.
Yeah. The Seattle snowpocalypse. It's a popular term. It's been tossed around. Apparently, it made its way up north. But there's the Dutch bicycle company in Seattle that... they're demonstrating how you can use zip ties to snowproof your bicycle, which is a pretty good idea. And the most interesting part of this article, I think this also came from Susan in Texas. The most interesting part is the end. It says here, it is at this point that I must admit I did not dream up this amazing technique. It pains me to admit it's not because my ego suffers, because the zip tie thing apparently to have come from fixed gear hipster culture. So tight pants, symmetrical haircut, genius caliber idea. I hate it wasn't me, but here you go. you get your credit. So anyways, thank you hipsters for coming up with the quasi chain idea. It's pretty cool. I've never tried this. It seems like a good idea.
It doesn't really snow here.
We don't get a lot of snow
on the ground.
Anyway. I could try it in dirt or mud, I suppose. Yeah. It might have similar dynamics. But anyways, there's that. And lastly, but not leastly, Portland Afoot, taking low car info into neighborhoods, which is pretty cool. Portland Afoot, we like them a lot. They're the 10-minute news magazine and affiliated website talking about low car life. And they started with the Kenton neighborhood here in Portland, and they're distributing flyers that give you basically this is, you know, where the zip cars are in your neighborhood. These are the businesses you can walk to, and they have a walk score, which is not a Portland Afoot thing. It's also somebody else's. I'm trying to remember where they're from. They're a big thing. But the walk score will tell you exactly what it is that how you score for where you live as far as where your businesses are, your transit lines, car share services, and that sort of thing. I looked up ours for where we live.
I've played around with it before, too.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know what? I think I just, well, I don't know. It was somewhere around 49, which basically said, you know, it's not as friendly as it could be.
But, and we're in Portland.
That's no surprise for our particular slice of Portland. So what can you do? But it's pretty awesome.
Get a grocery store.
Yeah, and Portland Afoot, they're doing this kind of their own accord. You know, they're not getting federal funding from anybody. They're not getting anything but hand claps. People are saying, hey, this is a good idea. So anyways.
I pull up alongside them in slow clap, actually.
As you should. So, that's some of the news stuff that we came across this week. Let us close this out, and we'll move on to the next thing.
You're taking a lot of responsibility in owning and riding a bicycle. You are now an operator of a wheeled vehicle.
Indeed you are. So, Mr. Fatboy Roberts, we brought you in to talk about your experiences everywhere, I think, in multi-modes of transportation.
We must introduce him.
We must. Oh, that's true. Yeah, and do you have a fanfare prepared?
Well, I have three for you to choose from.
Okay.
Royal, classic movie, or gong?
I'm going to go with classic movie. I'm sort of a dork.
All right.
I'm a big geek.
We give you Fatboy Roberts.
I should have swung in on a vine dressed like Robin Hood for that. That was an Errol Flynn intro right there.
Wasn't it? Precisely.
Yeah. Whip off a pointy hat with a feather on it. Hello, everybody. I'm here to talk to you about the rabble I bump into on the MAX trains.
So you have a fascinating compendium.
Yeah.
And I was sorting through earlier today on your Twitter feed, finding some of the better examples.
I really need to hashtag those. I've been doing those.
The ones you like.
Hashtag any of them. Like, I just sort of get on the train, immediately pull out my phone, and if anything remotely interesting happens, I observe it, because I'm one of the few people who ride the train that don't immediately just look straight down. That's like, people are like, how come all this weird stuff happens on your train? I'm like, it probably happens on your train too. You just don't look up. Like, if you
aware.
Look, yeah, if you look up, there's all sorts of weird stuff constantly happening. It's usually quiet things, small things, there's millions of examples, but I never hashtag them. I've had a couple friends tell me that I should collect them in some sort of like an honest to God compendium, and then talk to the multitude of comics artists who live here in town and get them to illustrate.
That's a great idea.
To illustrate those tweets, and then like collect them in a book, and then, you know, put it in a variety of stores here in town. And it sounds like a great idea, but I'm sort of cowed by the idea of going back through my own Twitter feed and having to pull them out without a hashtag. I'm like, oh, I gotta go through all my own garbage.
Well, I'll say it was a lot of work. I mean, not that I didn't enjoy it.
Oh, well, thank you.
You have an entertaining Twitter feed.
Thank you.
I was actually, I think that was how I learned that R2-D2 showed up in the Star Trek film.
Oh, yeah?
The most recent, the J.J. Abrams Star Trek film.
Yeah, I guess that's old, too. That's from like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
There's a scene where the Enterprise jumps in, essentially jumps like Battlestar Galactica, jumps into the debris of a space battle, and there's, you know, chunks of metal and tin flying everywhere, and then for a split second R2-D2 just sort of tumbles across the screen. Like, you have to know where to look to see it, but he just goes right through. I was like, what? Yay!
Pretty great.
Because I'm a nerd.
So yeah, you can find those things on Mr. Roberts' Twitter feed.
I'd say probably about 1,000 of those Twitter followers have nothing to do with any of the shows that I work on. I think it's solely because funny things happen on the train and I tweet them out. Right. So.
Cultural value.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people I think who are like, well, I'll check out his show. I was like, no, I think I'll just keep reading his Twitter. I don't need to actually check out his show. I'll just get my entertainment from that Twitter thing.
Yeah. So. Well, it's like you're saying, like there are all kinds of things, and they're minute things. They're small things that you notice because it, largely on the train, the idea is you get on and you're there and you're quiet and then you get off.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the small variances from that set of ritual that make for the interesting conversations, the interesting observations.
There's a lot of like interesting stories that end up getting played out. I've seen actually one of the more poignant stories was a couple who got on, and it was a girl who was hugging the guy, and that seemed like no big deal.
So right.
That happens. You know, public displays of affection happen constantly on the train,
especially near the mall.
Yeah, and she was constantly looking up at him, and he never at any point looked down at her. And then she had to get off at like one stop, and he like kissed her on the forehead, still didn't look at her, and just left.
And
she just sort of sat down and like, you know, looked at her hands, and I had to get off before she, but that just tweeting that story. Yeah. Just that one little vignette. A lot of people were like, oh my goodness. Like, and people were reading into it. Like it could have been, you know, that he was just so comfortable and he was so caught up and thought like maybe he was going to a job interview that was going to make sure they stayed financially solvent or something, and so he was just sort of lost in his own head. But some people interpret it that way. Some people interpret it like, oh, he doesn't even care about his girlfriend, and she's, you know, just unrequited love, and we're watching a relationship crumble via my tweets. And it's almost as interesting to watch how people interpret what's going on, because I try not to judge the people. Like, I try to just sort of report
or
what's
editorialize
going on. Yeah, I try not to editorialize. I mean, when like 3 or 4 juggalos get on at the Gateway Station, which
any other people get on?
It really is sort of like Portland's juggalo spawning point. Like
I was about to say that was one of the first transit related tweets from you that I ever saw. And yeah. That was fantastic.
It really is. Like, if this was a first person shooter and it was set in Portland, the juggalos would all spawn at Gateway Transit Center.
That explains the guy with the rocket launcher waiting for
him. Yeah, waiting for it down at the 82nd Street stop. Yeah, yeah.
That's just business as usual.
Yeah, but I mean, I try not to editorialize, but when it's juggalos, you sort of almost have to editorialize. But
there's no other option. There's no way to observe it. It's like, what is it, quantum theory? Like, if you observe a juggalo, you are changing the timeline. So.
there's something I do typically called a train celebrity lookalikes.
Right.
And that one, that's the closest I get to judging
do you
people.
Do you see pictures of them?
I can't. I try to, but typically my phone camera blows, and I'm just enough of a wusspuss to you know, like, if I'm clicking a picture and then they look up at that 1 second, I've got to explain to them that I'm using them for comedic purposes. Like, because they look so, it's a game.
You
that,
look like Danny Glover. I am Danny Glover, damn it.
Oh, if only. Oh, if only. I've yet to actually see a celebrity on the train.
An actual celebrity.
Yeah. Although there are some people who do read the train celebrity lookalikes and confuse it. It's like, hey, why don't you go talk to that
there,
guy?
There
like,
it's not,
Danny DeVito really isn't on the train, okay? It's just a guy who looks...
It's just a juggalo.
Yeah. It's juggalo Danny DeVito. Well, and that's the twist. It's a game that I stole from a movie called Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which is a really great movie. And there's a section of the movie where Robert Downey Jr. Is playing a game in a bar. And the game is essentially the same thing. You find a celebrity lookalike, but there's something just off. Like the example they use is Native American Joe Pesci, and the camera pans over and says, "Oh, look, there's Native American Joe Pesci over there." And you pan over, and it really is a guy that looks exactly like Joe Pesci from Casino, except he's a Native American. And so what happens is I'll see someone on the train that looks exactly like Sean Astin from The Goonies,
sure.
But she's a woman, and so it's Lady Sean Astin or something like that. Or actually, I think it was Lady
Samantha
Jonah
Wise
Hill.
Gamgee.
Yeah, exactly. It was Lady Jonah Hill that I saw on the train the other day. And I mean, if she had read that, she probably would not have been very happy to be described as Lady Jonah Hill.
I was going to say, is that the current Jonah Hill or like the former Jonah Hill?
It was current Jonah Hill. Okay. It was current Jonah Hill. But on the other hand, I was like, she looks exactly like Jonah Hill. This is it needs to be remarked upon.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's stories of people making drug deals on the train on their phone. One of the funnier ones that because I've overheard like 3 or 4 of those. People think that because they're on the train, no one's going to, you know, pipe up or say anything because everyone just wants to, you know, look down and get to where they need to go.
Right.
But I do notice these things. And one of the funniest ones was a guy trying to set up a drug deal and directing the guy who needed to pick up his stash, basically the middleman, to go into the basement at his mom's house. Like, so he's announcing the location of his weed stash on the train where anyone can hear him, and then admitting that he's dealing dope out of his mom's basement. Yeah. And I'm just sort of like, again, not really trying to judge, just putting the facts out there. This is this might be the guy you buy your weed from. Just want to let you know, if he's riding the blue line at 3 in the afternoon on, like, I don't know, October 3rd or something.
If you're in the market. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be your guy.
Follow him home.
Yeah. I remember when one of the better tweets I had, actually one of the most retweeted tweets I had, was when the blue line, I turned 25, I believe, recently.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, yeah. And I essentially said something along the lines of, happy birthday to TriMet's most successful anthropological, sociological study in Oregon history. It's also a light rail.
Yes.
Right.
It's also a light rail. It happens. There, you learn so much about human behavior just actually watching the people on the train, both funny things and sad things. And that's part of the reason why I haven't fixed the handlebar on my bike. Because I get to work faster. It never actually did anything about reducing the gut on my body. I thought that was going to happen at some point, but it never actually happened.
It hasn't worked for me either.
Like, I was like, I'm pedaling so, I'm going to work so sweaty. How come nothing is falling off my body? And that combined with the fact that I'm too lazy to fix the handlebars. And there's so much more interesting stuff happening if I just ride the train and then walk all over the place, that I decided I'm just going to stick with the train. And at this point now, I feel bad if I go to work, either like if I get a ride from somebody or I bicycle, because there's some people who aren't getting that entertainment. There are some people who want to check that Twitter either at their office or when they're on the train to see what's going on. And I feel bad if I don't have something interesting for them. And that's the other thing. I don't want to try and manufacture a story. Right. Some days I'm on the train and absolutely nothing happens. Mm-hmm. And then I end up having to tweet something because there's a guy with a clipboard. My tweet is, there's a guy with a clipboard, and that's why I'm tweeting this. So they
people are just like,
alone.
Lols.
I need them to leave me alone, so I'm just tweeting this. I'm talking to you right now because I don't want to talk to this person.
But he
with
has
clipboard.
Cat eyes.
I know.
Scary. Does he have blue skin?
That I probably would have taken a picture of that one.
Yeah, of
that one probably.
The Navi rolls on your track.
I was thinking it happens somewhat on the bus too. Mm-hmm. The bus yields probably just as many interesting stories, but I think the most interesting stories from transit often come from the places with the widest swath of humanity.
Yeah.
Because you get on our light rail line, you have, anyone from what people would consider maybe the lowest rung of society all the way up to the people who are wearing ties and carrying clipboards, mm-hmm. and briefcases and that sort of thing. And the interactions between those two, I think, are sometimes some of the best stuff. There was one, I think you talked about, a lady with a Nautica turtle shell.
Yeah.
I can't remember how the wording was on that.
Yeah, she was wearing a jacket, and it looked like a Nautica turtle shell. Like, just the way she was shaped, the way she was walking, it looked like there was a turtle shell that had been commissioned
rolled
for her.
In.
Yeah, exactly. What I like about the Green Line is every time I've ridden it, and I haven't ridden it all that often, sometimes I have to get out to Clackamas Town Center for, like, a movie screening or something for a freelance gig that I'm doing, and I'll ride the green. Every time I've ridden it, there is someone popping and locking. Every time. I've ridden it at least 6 times. Every time I am in a car in which someone just starts spontaneously popping and locking. Sometimes they have headphones on. Sometimes they don't.
Sometimes they don't.
Yeah, but they're just and just, you know, just doing that's doing rough. The moves. It's kind of cool. Like, there's some pretty decent poppers.
If they're okay at it.
Yeah, they're all right. I mean, they're not quite like Fred Rerun Barry levels, but I mean, they're practicing. I mean, they're getting their practice on the train, so it's some extra free entertainment.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't seen any. I haven't seen any fights yet, which is amazing considering I think 122nd and Burnside is one of the more violent. Max stops. Yeah,
that's your
I believe.
Transit domicile, right?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the stop that I jump on early in the morning. I get on at 122nd and Burnside, and go from there all the way into downtown.
Right, because 148th and what? I'm trying to remember where the stabbings happened, like in the past couple of years.
It's either 122nd or 148th, usually
somewhere in there.
Yeah, and I believe that's where they started this test experiment where they start piping. Opera music through
right.
the speakers at the stop. And it actually did bring crime down by, I think, like 10% or something. I forget whose initiative that was. I want to say it was Jefferson Smith's initiative.
Oh, that's interesting.
But he, yeah, there's
mayoral candidate Jefferson Smith.
Mayoral candidate Jefferson Smith, yes.
He's having a fundraiser on Thursday?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I believe there's going to be jugglers and such.
Yeah, yeah,
yes,
okay.
There's going to be jugglers and comedians.
Like circus. It's great.
Yeah. And I think that's currently going on at the Lloyd Center stop, which I always find interesting. Like, every time that Lloyd Center stop is open this morning, I've gotten some blast of something like Rachmaninoff or Bach or something. And I get that it's supposed to calm you down, but every time I hear classical music, it makes me want to rob things. Mostly from...
So it's actually been dropping most people's crime by 30%, but 10% of people just want to start stabbing.
Yeah, stabbing and stealing. Well, I blame Die Hard because...
You just hate Rachmaninoff, don't you? Well, what more like Chopin maybe would be better.
Well, so when I hear the Ode to Joy, the da-da-da-da, I want to break into a vault is what I want to do. I want to take over a building.
And start throwing vases everywhere.
Yeah. I want to break into a vault. I want to wear a nice suit, Mr. Takagi. I want to do those sorts of things. Because classical music, whenever... I've seen it in movies and such when it's like a blatant, like a Beethoven piece or a Bach piece, it's usually being used against type. Like you get this nice soaring classical music and someone's either committing a crime to it or doing something awful to it. Yeah. And so me as a normal law abiding citizen, I hear those doors open and you know,
the Pavlov's dog thing has happened. Exactly. Rachmaninoff's dog.
Exactly. I start looking at everybody else like, how many other criminals are on this bus right now?
Who's with me?
I know.
You all start doing it in unison.
Let's take this submarine
sandwich
shop.
Like it's a flash mob Rob. Flash Rob.
You just invented a new crime. The flash
I feel
Rob.
Like Congress.
We'll come back and pin this squarely on you, Mr. Rhodes, if that ever does in fact
take place.
It was recorded. It's done. It's too late now.
Yeah.
It's too late, baby. It's too late.
Good thing Gaddafi is not listening to us anymore.
Yeah. The reason I brought up the Nautica shell was I thought she was tucking into her shell against like the influx of.
She was, yes. Okay, she had the jacket on and there was
it was low tide.
No, there was someone sat down next to her and she just was not. Yeah, she tried to pull all of her limbs in. It was sort of like that one.
And then she rolled onto the floor.
I don't remember when she got off though. That's one thing that does weird me out. It's like sometimes I'll be looking up, seeing something interesting, looking down and typing. I'm not the fastest texter, and then I'll look up and someone will just disappear. And I start to wonder if like I'm imagining some of these strange things because outside of Jeff, there aren't too many documenters of really crazy things. Like every now and again, there's that TriMet blog, and they'll retweet or repost something that just kind of comes out of the ether at random.
Right.
But
TriMet Diaries.
Yeah, TriMet Diaries. And Jeff is one of the only other people I see consistently on Twitter reporting the same sort of craziness that I'm reporting. It makes sense if he's getting on a gate. We must be just missing each other.
I would imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. Like maybe he's at one end of another car, and I'm at the far end of the other car, and we're just
no. He's probably getting on it earlier than you because he has to go all the way to the end of the line and then catch the 57.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. So yeah. So he's probably getting on way earlier. Yeah, you're right. That makes sense. Because that's why I thought he was coming from the west side. Because usually when I'm tweeting, like he'll be like, oh, well, I was just that way. Like, and I was like, are we crossing? Are we missing each other?
Right.
Like we're just sort of.
Tama's crazy.
No cute nicknames for Kotama?
General Kotama?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. This one here that I found from the 8th of December. Mm-hmm. And lo, the grumpy huddled masses did disperse from the train, and hence, a frightened face was revealed at the center. He is a first-timer.
That one was fun. That one was great. Well, I believe what happens sometimes is that the blue line, for whatever reason, will be late. And when the blue line is late, that means there's at least an extra carload of people on that train. Mm-hmm.
Twice as many.
And the first timer was sort of clinging to the center pole right by where the doors open. And I sort of got on this mass humanity and squirted my way back into where the bikes normally hang. There was no bike there, so I just kind of squeezed in there.
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, everyone decided to get off the gateway. And he got off and not he got off the gateway, but at least half of the people in that little enclave area cleared out, and he just was stuck to the pole.
Just like, oh.
He didn't blink for like 5 seconds. Like, I don't think he knew. Like, and I felt bad because I'm like, this is obviously his first time on the train, and he thinks this is what it's always like. And
right.
He didn't move for like a second or two, just kind of like, oh. And then I think later on, his story sort of unfolded. But it was interesting to watch this first timer like sort of deal with one of the worst possible situations. There was another one recently where the train driver brake checked, essentially. He didn't mean to, but it was starting to pull out of a gateway, and he just started to pick up speed for like a second, and then
full on hard stop.
It was sort of like when you're a little kid in the bathtub and you want to make a wave, so you scoot forward and then you slide back as fast as possible, and everyone just sort of splooshed to the front of the train,
right.
And just sort of, and then water sought its own level again, and then people started to freak out because he wasn't opening the doors because he was no longer in the correct area to open the doors on the platform.
Right.
So people were, let us out, because a red line had just showed up behind them,
and they're ready to transfer.
They wanted to get in the red line train, so they're yelling. No one's pushing
away
a button
from this madman.
Onto IKEA.
No one is pushing a button to actually talk to the guy. They're just sort of yelling
it
generally in the train, like hoping like the
let us in!
The ear in the sky is going to control the doors for them. He finally lets people out like after 5 minutes. They board the red line, and then the red line sits there.
It does not
for
move.
Another 5 minutes. The red line finally leaves 2 minutes before the next train. So everyone gets out of that train, moves over to the red line. This was like a really interesting study in group behavior for me.
Sure.
Because 3/4 of the train got off and went and mashed into this already half full red line train and just sat there for 5 minutes.
Yes.
And just sat there for 5 minutes until it started to take off. And then we left literally like a minute and a half to 2 minutes after them. So they didn't even say, and then as we're hitting stop after stop, I'm recognizing faces. They bailed off the red line train to wait for the blue again. So like, yeah, they didn't even save any time. They they rode this red line for a couple stops, realized that they were way too crowded, and then just got back on the blue line train again. And I was like, why did you, what the? Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right. It was just really interesting to see a whole group
of
people.
I need to go past Delmonico, sorry.
it was just funny to watch them try and figure it all out as a group at the same time and come to the exact wrong answer.
Yeah. Right.
That's the time when you could use a hive mind, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
What can you do? I was thinking it would be...
That's when you could use a hive mind. It's a good proverb to live by.
Sure. I was thinking about how long will it be before TriMet? They have fare inspectors now because we're on the honor system.
Yeah.
And I should talk about that in a minute because that's interesting. But they also have the – what in Japan, I believe, they have those pushers, which have like the big T-shaped poles that they use to pack people into trains from time to time.
And you don't hate it. You really like it there.
Exactly, yeah.
Really? They have like a big T that they shove into the door to push people
I've
back?
Heard. And maybe it could be this
like
is
that
like,
game at Chuck E. Cheese that pushes the coins closer to the edge.
That's amazing.
Until you finally just push one over the edge.
Yeah, exactly.
But
and that person has to wait for the next turn. Oh, man. I'm going to be late for work now.
Exactly.
Some dude in JNCO jeans and clown makeup. Man. He wouldn't be late for work. That guy's not working.
Back to the spawn point.
But he's got to go respawn.
I don't know if that's anecdotal or not. I've heard about it before.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things people always say, like, Japan is so crazy. They've got people to push you onto the train. But I know that there was a story I was reading recently, and I can't remember where it was, about it was people in some European country, I think, that were actually swarming the train. Like, the train was so full that people couldn't get on. And they had to install at the train platform these concrete balls that would hang down to the top of the train so that people would not climb on top of the cars to ride to the next
What?
Wow.
So, I can't remember where that is. If I find it, I'll post it up on the Twitter.
How long till that happens here? That's the sort of thing that I think about. At some point, like, if those sorts of strange stories are going to happen in any city in America, it's going to happen
in
this one.
Once gas is $8 a gallon, then we're going to be like... piling on.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's sort of why I'm enjoying the train rides as much as I am now, because in about 5 years when nothing gets better.
Yes.
Like that train ride is going to be a completely different thing. I'm still going to be on that train, but it's going to be a completely different ride.
Yeah. And so, you know, frequency of service won't increase.
No, so. they can't afford it. TriMet's in a weird place right now financially.
They are.
I'm sorry, I brought the show down.
No.
We love TriMet. We love transit, but it is in a weird place.
Yeah.
Did you play that online game where you can play around with their budget and see what different cuts?
Yes, it's a survey
tool.
It's not a game.
No. Well, it's been called a game in every media thing I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
About it. Yeah.
It's sort of like the trade machine at ESPN when you're trying to figure out what power forward you can get for all your flotsam and jetsam on the team. Except now you're trying to figure out how best to get like two extra lines running.
That's exactly. Right. They're okay. Like, you know, if you cut service.
The best idea on there is we're just going to give you a day fare that's a great price.
Sure.
I think it's great because right now, like, you're only, say, like, if you do three trips a day,
Yeah.
The difference between that and two-hour fares is only like 15 cents or something like that. It's like, ooh, I saved a nickel.
Yeah. Right. You know, one thing that was auspiciously missing from that survey was turnstiles at the MAX stations.
Or yeah, other ways of
getting fare, like people getting people to pay for their ride.
Mm-hmm. Well, that also creates a border between. It makes it discontinuous, incongruous relative to the rest of the lived environment, like the sidewalks and things like that.
Sure.
If you have a series of turnstiles in downtown, it just looks unfriendly. It's a very conditional and uninviting space.
I have faith in the minds, the creative minds in downtown Portland. They can come up with a very cutesy way.
It's
a,
true.
A very
let's
nicely
let,
designed
let
way.
Apple do it.
Yeah. They've got Wieden and Kennedy downtown.
Yeah, exactly.
There's some brains in that group. They can come up with something.
They could serve beer inside the turnstile.
Yeah, exactly.
A beer garden at every stop.
If anything is a stationary structure in Portland for longer than 5 years, at some point someone's going to attach a tap to it. That's just sort of how this city works.
Right, or like a happy hour commute where like you get on and your beer is
and
free.
You get a Rainier.
Oh yeah, that would be nice.
I wonder if that would save any money.
No, but you'd have to install porta potties about five stops later.
Yeah,
right. It could be one of the you could have train or bathrooms on the train.
Oh yeah, you could just have little tubes,
kind of like they do on the Amtrak and all the motor coaches. You know, you just walk to the one end of the train and there's a little door and. There's a hole inside, and you use it. Poor choice of words. There's a commode.
Amsterdam, that's something different. Yeah.
Hey-o. The thing I was thinking about with the honor system is that when I was taking the train home the other night from work, I had my bike hung up. I had ridden partway through the rain, and then I got on at Rose Quarter down to here. And there was a fellow on there who was being asked by a fare inspector for fare. And he refused on principle to show the fare. He said, it's an honor system, right?
Oh, man.
Which pissed off the fare checker to no end.
Of course.
And it looked for a couple of stops like they were going to try and arrange some sort of law enforcement sort of thing. Like, you know, we're gonna either make you show us your fare or make you get off the train. It ended with, I think the fare inspector couldn't get the law enforcement to show up at the right time.
Ah.
And so he got off to catch the next train and check on some more fares going the opposite direction. But he was like, well... You know how much police and how many resources you tied up by making your little stand?
Yeah.
And yeah, it was interesting. I couldn't side with either side, honestly.
Yeah.
Because I don't like the fare inspectors very much. I have a pass. I mean, I have no reason to dislike them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it still feels like isn't there some other way we could do this? I'm not sure. I mean,
well, one of the things that I've noticed with the fare inspections actually increasing, I've seen a lot more of them in the last like 6 months than I have, you know, the entirety of my ride on the train. The one thing I've noticed quite a bit is that when they get on, they're like a magnet for the guilty. Like people do not know how to hide their crimes on the train. I know exactly who has hopped a fare by when the fare
and
inspector
who has weed on them.
Yeah, exactly. Like by the not just the body language, but people who obviously did not. They just hopped the train.
There's palpable guilt on their faces.
They'll beeline and start the excuse as to why they don't have their ticket. Like if they just sat at the far.
I don't have my ticket. I'm gonna get off here.
Like the fare inspector will get on at one end of the car and they are at the other end of the car and they will spot him. Like typically, unless you're going from like 42nd to Lloyd Center, which is one of the longer stops, like they're not going to get to you.
It's
if you're
true.
A full car length, they're not going to get to you by the next stop.
It is a great piece of fortune that it's that long.
Yeah. but they will come up from the car to approach the fare inspector. And start in with the excuses to why they don't have a fare.
Before they're asked for fare.
Before they're asked, yeah. Right. They'll come up and just say, I hopped the fare, but here's why. And then they come with like a lame excuse. And he's like, well, thank you for the extra revenue. You're going to get off at the next stop. And I'm going to write. It always happens. Like the fare inspector never goes, oh, I thank you for being honest. Sort of. Except you're obviously lying to me about why you don't have a fare.
Right.
They never do that. They never let you off the hook for being like very nice and jovial and trying to head them off at the pass. They always write you the ticket. There was one time I saw like an 11-year-old and he got busted for fare hopping, but the guy did not write him a ticket. I think partially because he knew there's no way an 11-year-old is going to pay like the $150 fine.
You don't have this. Yeah.
Yeah. So he just sort of tried to scare the 11-year-old and don't be stealing, whatever. And the 11-year-old just sort of like stone faced him.
Happens again, we're gonna drag you into the quarters and beat you.
Yeah, 11 year old just sort of stone faced him. It was interesting. There's a lot of hard kids riding the train. Oh,
yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, I guess you get bumped and jostled and you know, accidentally elbowed in the head. After a while, you're just sort of like you just lock down. I saw like a stone faced infant once. I told a story at a live show we did for Court and Fat Boy of an infant. In a stroller with his mom, and his mom wasn't really paying attention to the infant. The infant was just kind of making noises, just kind of like running the tongue off the top of their mouth, blah, 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 because they were enchanted.
That's what they do.
Yeah, enchanted with the sound of their own voice.
They're all Buddhists.
And this one guy just starts mean mugging the kid, like literally mean mugging a 2-year-old, got the ice cube stare.
Juggalo? Or what?
Yes, he was.
Did you learn about that?
Juggalo. Sorry, that's something I saw on my calculator.
I was about to say, yeah. You learned about that on your TI-84, right?
Yeah.
And he starts staring at the kid, like trying to stare the kid down, like, you be quiet. And the kid just starts staring back at the guy, like, I'm not going to be quiet. And the guy gets off the train, and he's still locked eyes with the kid. So he's turning the corner to go around the door and still looking at the kid, and the kid's still looking back. And the guy gets off the train, the doors close, and the train starts going for like another 30 seconds. And then it must have been like a time delay or something, because the kid finally realizes, or it finally hits the kid, and the kid's like, and starts crying. And that finally wakes up the mom. The mom finally starts paying attention to him, because the mom has not noticed that a grown man has been mean mugging her child.
Right.
Has no idea whatsoever. Like, she should have gotten upset at like a 30-year-old giving dirty looks to her baby, but she didn't see it.
You would think.
Yeah. The baby starts crying, then she starts paying attention. Her method of calming him down is to take her iPhone and just give it to him.
A 2-year-old?
Yeah. So the baby is sort of like, and the baby starts smiling. It's like the best digital pacifier ever, just sort of slapping at it. And like, I guess it's making lights and noises and whatnot. And just kind of slapping at it. And then the mom gets frustrated with the kid. And I hear her say, no lie, you're doing it. Give it. No, one finger. You can't use two. Give it here, and then grabs the thing.
Oh my gosh.
And shows the child how to play whatever she's playing. And I'm like, well, this
is... You pull the bird back. If it's blue, you hit it again.
See, that's what I thought. I thought it was like Angry Birds or some other very simple touchscreen game, right?
Right.
A couple stops later, the kid starts to get it finally and is happy and cooing and, you know, slapping its grimy hand all over her very expensive iPhone that she's using as a pacifier instead of parenting her child. And they get off the train, and I can see what game the kid was playing as she walks by, because she's got the phone back. And the game the kid was playing was Google Maps.
Are you serious?
You're doing it wrong. She's yelling at the child, scrolling through maps on Google Maps. The kid was playing Google Maps.
Never ever look at
Hawkinson. You need to correct the kid.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Don't look at Battleground.
And what I got...
Washougal is not your friend.
And one of the tweets I got back was like, I play Google Maps every now and again. I typically lose.
Yeah.
I don't play it right either.
I can't get past level 4.
Well, it's the boss in the middle of Longview that's hard to beat.
Yeah, you don't have enough XP to get out that way.
No.
Yeah, you got to go back and get some boots of walking or something. A mana.
That's it.
Some old Navy outfit.
We should hit our mail segment real quick before we run out of time.
You've got mail.
Yes, we do. David Hetty, our friend, says, looks like we might need to start looking for some fair trade tech products. There was an interesting coverage of Apple and their labor practices, basically, and who supplies their things and how they get their shiny, bright gadgets. So that was interesting. This American Life also had an interesting episode covering that a couple weeks ago. So I've got links to both of those up on the website.
That This American Life episode is really good.
It's amazing.
It's essentially just excerpts of a monologue that Mike Daisy, who's a very famous monologuist, he just did, I think, for the Time Based Art Festival here in Portland, a 24-hour monologue.
Is that right?
Yeah. There were 15-minute breaks at the end of each hour. So basically, he would talk for 45 minutes, go backstage for 15 minutes, come back out, and I don't know if he had notes. It was like this strange, surreal, sci-fi memoir / fever dream.
Yeah.
And it went for 24 straight hours.
It's like Ulysses the show.
Well, and it started with him sitting at a table, and he pulled out like a bottle of whiskey, and then he pulled out a gun. And I remember it was live streamed. And I remember checking in on like the 23rd hour and legitimately thinking, like,
Is he going
to
use?
Is he going to
blow that off?
Like, is this it for him? Because he was starting. He was on some other planet at that point.
Wow.
Like, I could not make heads or tails of anything he was saying. but the more focused Mike Daisy talking about Apple, that is a ridiculously enlightening talk. So yeah, check out that This American Life. That's good stuff.
Well worth it. Greg Hum, guy from Boston, he wrote into us a couple days ago. He's a drum biker. Apparently, he's got kind of how people mount the, or no, I guess they have the plastic buckets on the sidewalk, and you know they're playing drums,
stomp,
sticks, and all that. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So this guy has that set up mounted to his bicycle's handlebars, and he knows a guy that gave me a helmet when I was over in Boston for Christmas, and so he's coming to Portland, and we might get a chance to talk to him. But I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Our upcoming shows, January 30th, Katie Proctor from Kidical Mass. She's going to tell us about bike protests with kids. Amos Hunter's coming back on February 5th from the Bike Temple and other things. He's going to tell some stories about touring. February 12th, we've got some pre-taped interviews from my visit to Boston. David Watson of Mass Bike, which is kind of like the BTA of Massachusetts, and Pete Stidman from the Boston Cyclists Union. And then February 19th, the triumphant return of Dr. Jeff.
Yay! Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much it. For you, sir,
yeah.
Where can people find you and the things that you do?
For the purposes of this show, you're probably just best off going to at FatboyRoberts, all one word, on Twitter. Just check there. I do God knows how many other different podcasts and creative endeavors, but you can find links to those all at FatboyRoberts on Twitter. So just go to at FatboyRoberts. You'll get me yapping about movies. I think last night I live tweeted Monsters Incorporated.
Yes, you did.
Just for the heck of it. like when I'm on the train, just typically check right around 8 in the morning till not 8 in the morning. I think like 7:30-ish. 7:30 to like 8 in the morning, that's my half hour of madness.
That's your commute window.
Yeah, that's the commute window. That's when you're going to find some really interesting things. And sometimes I have to max back. Right now, I've been having to take the bus back, and there's only like two other people on my bus. So the evening commute is nowhere near as interesting as it used to be.
Dude walks on, sits down, reads book.
You might want to hit up my Twitter account and then just search the word train.
No, it's true. True enough.
Or juggalo. Mm-hmm. there's some interesting things that happen.
Those two always come in conjunction with each other.
Yeah, there's been a couple photo ones that I was really happy with. Like a guy, I call it the Outer Southeast iPod.
Oh, yeah.
It was a guy who had an old receiver/record player bungeed to the back of his bicycle.
Really?
With speakers stacked on top of that. And the whole thing was,
I need to look for this. You have no idea how much I want to do that.
It was really cool.
You're sweating immediately. That's incredible, Brock.
My pulse quickened.
It was amazing. Like he got on and he acted like it was no big deal. I was like, he's got like a 70s console on the back of his bike. That's how Outer Southeast rocks. Click.
Did he also have a car battery or at least?
He was powering it somehow. Yeah. It was obviously not for show, and I don't think he had just come back.
His goodwill for humanity. That's what.
Goodwill.
Yeah.
Hey-o.
Go to at FatboyRoberts on Twitter, and you'll be treated to my adventures in mass transit.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming in to join us.
Thank you for having me.
This has been the Sprocket Podcast. Write to us. Our email address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Text or voicemail us at 503-847-9774. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music. He's on the internet at myspace.com/RyanJLane. And thanks to Hurtbird for our headline sounder there at hurtbirdmusic.com. We're on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast and all the other places that you typically go to find people. So that's it for us. Until next week.
Hasta luego.
Hasta luego. That means see you later.
Lego.
And bye.
Ego.
That's right. Boy, it's taken a long time to get
there
today.
You went through it really fast, man.
I know. I thought I had less time than I did.
I'm going to make the jump.